I think we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order at 12:01. We have a quorum. I'm just going to go down the roll call. I know there's a couple of people probably still coming in, but myself, Grant Westerson.
Yes.
Gap.
Here.
John Johnson.
Here.
Paul Hinch.
Here.
Thomas Gill.
Here.
Kristen Urbach.
Here.
Brian Thompson.
Here.
Paul Robertson.
Here.
Let's see, Dave Frullo.
Here.
And Mayor Riley.
Here.
And then there's David Corris. Yeah. Welcome.
Hello.
With that said, we'll
and
go
Doug
ahead.
Doug Delina's here too, sorry.
Oh, thanks, Doug. Delina. The people I'm missing are either Felix or Mayor Passero, Kelly Moran, Kimberly, and Tom Patton. So,
I think that's Felix joining us now.
Okay. So if they come in, Jill, if you'll let me know, we'll mark them. Okay, the first order of business is approval of the minutes of the September 16 regular meeting and the October 3rd special meeting of the Board of Directors.
So move.
Second, this is Doug.
Thanks, Doug. Do I have any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the minutes, both sets, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Mayor Rilling, or Harry Rilling.
Thanks, Mayor. Okay, motion passes. Third order of business is public comment. So, I don't see anybody here that's in person that wants to make a public comment other than staff. Anyone from staff want to make any public comment? Sure, Mike is pleased with that.
They'd like.
Then for the public on Zoom call, Jill, if you'll go over the what they need to do to make a public comment, that would be great.
Sure. If you're on Zoom, you can either raise your hand or just take yourself off mute. If you're calling in on the phone, you can press *6 to unmute yourself or *9 to raise your hand.
Kevin Blacker, I'd like to make a comment.
Absolutely, Mr. Blacker.
So let's see, I'd like to start off by saying that I think that Paul Whitescarver and Mike O'Connor are doing about the best job as anybody I've seen running the Port Authority. Paola Haynes or Hayes, excuse me if I said her name wrong, doing an excellent job. I want to, you know, with it in mind that, you know, like they say, an ounce of criticism worth a pound of praise, I want to share a criticism for Mike O'Connor, which is you talk way too much, Mike, and people respect you as a person, but they know that you lack shipping and port experience, and I wanted to share, you know, that, and whether people are sharing it with you to your face. I've heard people in industry outright laugh at the idea of containers. I read the Hartford Business Journal article, and you know, as it was described to me, you know, by this person with a lot of experience in industry, anyone talking about containers in Connecticut, they just kind of shut down and stop listening, because that's been studied. It's not economical. They said it's not practical. I hope that if you haven't, you'll get a hold of page 3-6 in the statewide freight plan and read the 7 port investment strategies and use those as a starting point. You know, when we're looking beyond wind at State Pier, and obviously evaluate which of those are still you know, relevant and practical, but that's page 3-6, and it's the 7 port investment strategies. I wanted to share for Paul Whitescarver, read in the press, you know, he was basically asking that people keep an open mind to that end. I think people will be a lot, it'll be a lot easier for people and your opponents to have an open mind and to work with you if you guys are more transparent and treat people with respect. You had people wait on hold while you're in executive session for, I don't know if it was an hour or 90 minutes. You got off, you didn't share any details. And maybe that flies in the military. Maybe that's okay way to treat, people like but below you. But if you want people to work with you and support you, I think that acknowledging the mistakes that were made, because there was good about the upgrades at State Pier, there was a tremendous amount of bad and mistakes. And I think that if there's some acknowledgement of the bad and of the mistakes, and if there's a shift towards just treating the public like a valued team member, you guys are going to have a lot easier time and a lot less fighting. So that's what I have to share today. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Blacker. Anyone else desire to make public comment? Okay. Hearing none, we'll go to agenda item number 4, which is executive director update.
Good afternoon, everybody. Jill's going to bring up slideshow presentation.
Can everyone see this online? Okay, thank you.
People can see it online. I'm trying to make it move.
No.
He's working before. Well, we figure out the controls function. I am going to discuss several areas. Topics are on the screen. Yeah. Joe, next slide.
You just click on it.
And we're going to try again.
Now I don't have everybody, though. Did it work? It's for video share.
Should be that one. All right, can everybody see that? By voice?
I can.
Yep.
All right, thank you.
Yes.
All right, so one of the responsibilities the Port Authority has is the pilots and the pilot commission. A couple of weeks ago, I got the opportunity to go out with a pilot on a ship called the Trina. After she unloaded the cargo at the State Pier, you can see the bridge of the ship on the left and a view from the starboard wing on the right, overlooking the State Pier on our way out. Pilots ride these ships out to Point Judith to safely get them in and out of the harbor. And then you disembark on a pilot ship and come back into land and catch a ride back to New London. So, a lot of ship traffic these days. At the State Pier alone, it was 50 ships coming in and out of the harbor over last year. Just for the support of the wind project, the pilots on board, every one of them. And as we'll talk about later, dredging is important to them being able to do their job. Several of us went down to observe annual exercise in New Haven Harbor, where the Harbor's responsible to demonstrate that they can execute the emergency plans that they have in place for certain things. So they ran an overboard drill where they picked up somebody who falls in the water. It was a dummy, of course, and they executed that in the middle of the harbor. They did the boom deployment for chemical or oil spill. They have to demonstrate that they're able to do that. And then they had waste services standing by with their equipment, which would be required to remove the oil from the water. And then Deep was there with a display of their drone capability to put a drone up over a harbor to be able to see the magnitude of the oil spill and to be able to direct the people in containing that. So very good demonstration of their capabilities. And then for dredging, here's an update of the five-year plan off the Corps website. Stony Creek's being dredged right now by Patriot Marine, and New Haven Harbor's being dredged by Cashman. Those are the items in red. The items in blue are scheduled for future years. The New Haven Harbor one that's in blue is actually the improvement project. We're doing the maintenance dredging right now, which will restore the harbor to 35 feet. Next year, they will start the process of going to 40 feet. Bridgeport Harbor, which includes Black Rock, will be done in a future year, and they're working on the design for that now. And you can see that Brantford and Greenwich are on the upcoming list. It's our mission to get more areas of Connecticut onto the list in the five-year plan. Because there's a great need in several areas, most of the areas outlined in Connecticut. And Cashman, I think the model right now of executing a project, they started on October 1st. That was the earliest date that they could start in accordance with their permitting. This is an outline of how they're attacking the dredging in the harbor. They update everybody and includes the harbor people about where the ships are going to be or where the barges are going to be so the ship traffic is aware. They've only been impeded by weather once, a storm we had a couple weekends ago that they had to anchor in for. But they intend to be done by Thanksgiving. And the work in restoring full harbor, the turnaround basin, the anchorage, and the channel to 35 feet is going to help restore the shoaling from the shoaling that's been going on at harbor and make ship traffic much safer. And they're doing it as soon as possible. So we still have to go out to bid. The Army Corps has got to go out to bid for the deepening project. So we'll see who gets that award. But this is a good model of communication for what's going on in the harbor.
Is it pink or shoaling?
No, I think the... The pink is where they would store things in weather, but it's not. This is not reflective of the harbor depths at all. This is just the cut channels that they're doing and how they're proceeding up and down. And where the blue is where they're expecting to be through tomorrow afternoon. I did get an opportunity to visit with Bohart. They're in New London. In the upper left-hand portion of the screen where it says 95, that's Route 95. And underneath that bridge, you can see the State Pier. But this is an artist's rendition of what Mohawk's building out. There's two barges in the foreground that are tied up to a very big pier. That pier's coming out 250 feet. It's 500 feet wide. And they're dredging a deeper channel from that pier all the way out to the main channel. And they're using the dredge material from that dredging activity to build up the land area that you see before you. Right now, they have to crane everything onto a barge that they need to maneuver. This will allow them to drive components, and some of them very heavy, right onto the barge itself without the need to do any extra lifting, and greatly improves their business model. This is being aided by a PIDP grant that they put in with support from New London.
I always like to think of the time frame it takes to do these things. I think this PIDP grant was granted like 3 years ago. It's been
It is a 2023 or four PIDP grant, and they're starting this year.
And this is Groton we're looking at, right?
No, yeah. that's the New London side. Mohawk does have operations on the Groton side as well.
Okay. They have a rail connection too.
They do have a rail connection.
And I think part of the PIDP grant is to put a spur in.
Yes.
So that it comes onto the pier to give them better access.
That might be that rail looking car in the back end.
Yep.
But progress is being made on that project. It was good to go out and see the before picture. Right in the center of the screen is our newest board member. Mayor Harry Reiling was just recently appointed by Senator Duff. I'm standing between the two of them. This is their rendition of a groundbreaking ceremony where you don't have ground because a small harbor improvement program grant is being used in Norwalk to improve the docks that you see behind the mayor standing in front of the podium there. On the next slide, I've zoomed in a little bit, not to get a close-up of the mayor, but so that you could see what the dock structures look like behind. They have been making do with places to put boats and a lot of activity in Norwalk Harbor, and that's all going to get upgraded. It'll be a very good project when it's done.
Is that the west bank of the harbor?
The dock that is the east bank, the west bank of the
harbor. Oh, so we're looking north.
I'm sorry. That's the east bank. Oh, that's the west bank of that waterway. Yes. Okay. We are looking south.
If you're looking south.
Yeah. I was answering a different question. On the other side of the park area was a previous ship grant that put in some docks. Mayor, everything progressing well?
Yes, absolutely. And we're really pleased. This is going to be a great addition to our harbor, which we are very proud of, and give the residents of Norwalk a place at a reasonable expense to moor their boats. I'm a boater, and I truly enjoy the harbor, and this will be a great addition.
Yeah, I think
what's landward access to that?
Mayor?
I'm sorry?
What's the landward access? What road is it you access that property on?
Oh, okay, that's Seaview Avenue in Norwalk, but it's in Vets Park. Veterans Memorial Park.
Yeah. Now, I just zoomed in on the back picture because there's some dock space there, but the upgrades that they're going to be making are just going to be a big step change in safety and accessibility. And it'll last a very long time from what they have there now. So I think it's a great upgrade.
So the upgrade is going to be concrete or wood?
Oh, I don't know. Mayor, do you know? Wood or?
I do not know. I believe it's going to be wood, but I'm not absolutely sure. I don't.
A lot cheaper.
Well, you can spend money or you can spend money. So,
nice
job. Yeah, beautiful harbor. Wow. Anybody know where it is?
Quebec.
Very good.
Been there many times.
Have you?
That's where I lost my son for about 5 seconds. It seemed
like. Oh, yeah. I didn't see him while we were there. But that's Quebec City. I'm standing near the Citadel on a place called the Plains of Abraham. And if there was a good model of how to integrate port operations with the rest of the town, I think Quebec City is it. That's the St. Lawrence Seaway. And as I zoomed in on this, look at the ample grain storage capabilities. Those silos get filled and emptied regularly. And in the background, over past the silos, you can see mounds of scrap metal going out. I'm told it goes to Africa for some reason. That's where the scrap metal goes. And then there's mining deposits, iron ores, salt, everything that they want to bring in bulk back there. There's containers further north. Part of this project included building out a beach area north of the port where you wouldn't expect to find a beach on a river. Quebec City has a beach. And so it's just a great model that I was able to see while I was up there, what you can do when everybody's working together. You probably on the right hand side can see the top of a cruise ship, and there's a cruise ship behind the grain silos on the far right. Maybe you can just about make it out in the big picture. So yeah, you can see the cruise ship on the far right in the lower part of the screen. But they had about 12,000 people visit by cruise ship last year. So what a great city.
Well,
I was told not to go there in February.
It is chilly, but the spring.
And 7-hour drive from here with no traffic.
And that was a conference?
That was the American Association of Port Authorities. I think the single most important takeaway, Gaffney's going to like this, from the Port Authorities is working with the rail lines would be very beneficial. And we're just about to go talk to G&W and talk to them some more about what comes next with the state pier. And yeah, can help with that.
Thank you.
Because we did have some comments up front about container shipping. This was brought up last meeting. This is pictures of what I-95 looks like when a container comes off a truck. Fortunately, nobody was hurt in this accident, but it did cause a 6-hour delay on it. That's in Westbrook.
No, a quarter mile from my house. And it turned Route 1 into absolutely a dead stop.
It sure did, because everybody has to go somewhere else. So, there are people that want to do it. I know the admonitions that have been raised about can't do containers in Connecticut. And I have heard a lot of reasons why you can't. I'm not doing it. The Port Authority is not doing it. We're going to collaborate with people that want to do it and see what they need help with to be able to do it. I'll admit, if it's an impossible task, it's probably not going to happen. But if we keep telling ourselves that it's an impossible task, it's never going to happen. So we're going to do things in Connecticut by rail and by sea to help the freight equation in Connecticut, because I-95 cannot handle any more capacity, and it doesn't deserve the capacity it has now. There are safer, more efficient ways to move freight than what we do on I-95. And you've heard me say this before. It's 20,000 trucks a day coming out of New York, going to New Haven. That can't be the only way to do it. People get up in the morning, they do what they've always done until presented with a better option. If the option's not better, they're not going to take it, and I don't blame them. But it's our job to collaborate with the people who do want to do this work. So we'll continue to do that. This is Army Corps of Engineers report from 1924. It shows the tonnage of freight on the Lower Connecticut River. I think that number is almost, four. Jill, what's that number?
454 to 12.
She's sitting closest.
Yes.
454,000 tons of freight on the Lower Connecticut River in 1924. Today, zero. I think there's room for improvement.
Not to interrupt you, but I'm going to interrupt you.
Yes, sir.
When I started working on the dock in 1963, the seven tankers mm-hmm. going up the river to service all the power companies and things. Today there's nothing.
Okay. So some of that's been replaced by pipeline. Understandably, that's a great way to move fuel oil. It comes into New Haven, it gets pumped up the Connecticut River all the way to Bradley and beyond. I think on this list of products down below on the lower half of the screen, there's coal, not using much coal these days. There's tobacco, not as big a product as it used to be. But there's other things that can be done. Connecticut River hasn't been dredged in a while. It's supposed to be a 15-foot channel. It's not 15 feet most of the places.
Not even close.
Not even close. Jill, I'm no longer able to advance.
I hit that.
Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I tried to make it bigger, but.
Oh.
Sorry about that. That's right. Go back. Redo. Now I close the whole thing.
Do you stand by? This doesn't like you.
Sorry, guys. Just bear with me for a few moments, okay? Thank you. I just got to get it so that everybody can see it. Can anyone see this?
Is the display working for y'all on the phone?
We're seeing the slide that says Connecticut Port Authority. It's advancing through photo on the left.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Just a few things in the marketing communications area. We've just met with Vincent Holt yesterday. Have some engagement on next steps for furthering marketing for all of our ports and for communicating. We've seen a step change in social media and website usage. Thanks to Melissa and Anthony feeding things into social media. If you have accounts and you're linked to us, you'll see what goes out there on a regular basis. And we have a strategy plan for going forward. So it's you should see regular updates to that. To meet more people in Bridgeport, Anthony's attending the Bridgeport Chamber Leadership Cohort. So that'll get exposure to business leaders in Bridgeport, to the Port Authority, and it'll let us meet more people. Melissa's doing the same in New Haven early next year. We do have some upcoming events. We're going to be at COST on Wednesday, which is up at the AccroTurf. That's the Council of Small Towns. And we will go to the Connecticut Conference of Municipalities meeting in December. That's happening the same week as NAPA. CCM is the beginning of the week. North American Ports Associations in Alexandria, Virginia, at the end of the week. All of those are COST and CCM are opportunities to meet every municipality in one spot rather than go from place to place and make sure we understand what's going on in their towns and they understand how they could leverage the Port Authority. Let's see. If you haven't been on our website, this is the revised website. Much of the same functionality that was there before, you can find in this website. So if you knew where to go look for something, you could probably still find it. But we've added a couple more things, and you can explore that. But the page looks very good on iPhone. It looks good on an iPad. It looks good on a computer. So they did a very nice job with the development of that. And then we've included a directory of maritime businesses and associations. This is just a screenshot you can search for. In this case, I searched for construction, and it brought up a number of construction companies in Connecticut that like-minded people can find each other, or there's over 600 entries in this database with a note up there that if anybody wants to be added, they can send their information to us, and we'll put them right in. So you can share that with others. We do have an annual public meeting for the Port Authority that is held every December. Two things on that. We're looking at the week of December 8th, Paul. We're looking to do that in person. And we're exploring New Haven for a potential location. At that public meeting, we'll give a full update on the dredge study that's in progress right now, all of the dredging activities in the state, and update on board activities throughout the course of the year and listen to any public feedback. There is an annual audit that's almost finishing, so that'll be available for the finance and audit committees to review in November. There's also a state audit that gets started that's on a biennial cycle, so we'll get that process started as well. And then every year in December, the Port Authority sends an annual report to the legislature and the governor with any updates we have, actions we've done over the course of the year, and of course, recommendations to legislative changes. So anything in the legislation associated with the Port Authority or operations of maritime business in Connecticut, this is the time to put those recommendations in. So if board members have thoughts about what they want to include in recommendations, we should bring it to a future meeting to include in that report. And I think sometimes, you know, it's lonely at sea. But we'll get to that in a second. We did host, we took advantage of Veterans Coffee that occurs monthly at Philomena's in Waterford. Hosted by Mike Brissetto. We kind of commandeered his October meeting to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States Navy. And we're able to provide over 80 vets in the room with cookies and T-shirts. And, you know, it's not too long before you'll start seeing a lot of black T-shirts in the southeastern Connecticut area that recognize the Navy's accomplishments and have the Connecticut Port Authority written on them. It is lonely to go out and sail sometimes. So John was able to give us a tour of the Connecticut River Museum over in Essex, and he made his way onto the Onrust, and we were about to set sail, and he said, "No, I'm not licensed for this." And so, so that's Mr. Johnson there in the background. Any questions?
All right. Any questions for Mike?
No, a comment. Well done. Great report. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
If you're doing the rest of your time.
All right. Next on the agenda is grant updates. I'll turn it back over to Mike.
Thanks. So for the small harbor improvement process, we did have some minor changes that captured some changes to the legislation. We put that out for legal review for 30 days, got some feedback. We're currently taking another look at that to make sure that it is clear, everybody understands what the rules are, and simple. There's a lot of paperwork involved. We're looking to streamline that and potentially get something in place that allows people to do it electronically. So those are three improvement areas that we're going to work on in the next few weeks here and bring back to the board for their approval. In the meantime, we really can't announce that there's funding available until funding's available. We need the bond commission to act, and in this case, they will deposit the monies available into an account set up for this purchase, and then we will work on that account. When we work from that account, and we put out a solicitation and people request grants and the board makes those grant approvals, they'll be able to be immediately dispersed rather than have a follow-on activity to wait for bond commission approval. But we do need to wait for that first step to happen, and the bond commission does need to act. I do not know when the next bond commission meeting is. I heard there might be one in December, and we have one requested that the funds be considered, and two, made notifications to our legislative partners that this is a necessary next step in funding the Small Harbor Improvement Program. Any questions on that?
Just a comment, Michael. I think in all of us, 21 of us, or whatever the number is, we're all disciples of Upland CPA. And the best thing I think we can do individually is to contact our representatives and our senators to push them a little bit in terms of getting this thing, this $5 million on the bond agenda. I don't think that we can't get it as a line item because that's going to take a lot longer. But certainly all of us can push our representatives and senators to put this thing on.
To the extent that that helps, it should be done. We did ask for $9 million $5 million for the Small Harbor Improvement Program in this fiscal year. There's previous unused money in prior fiscal years amounting to $4 million, so we asked for that as well. We also asked to go before the Bond Commission over $19 million, that is the non-federal share for the New Haven Harbor Improvement Project, and those are funds that are going to need to start to be dispersed early next year as they put that job out to bid and start doing more work to get that improvement project started in October of next year. So those are the three things that we made and asked for the bond commission. For the EPA Clean Ports Program, we're set to receive bids on long lead electrical components this week. We have a team in place to open those bids and start the review process. The reviewers are made up of Orsted, the Port Authority, Instructure, and Moffitt Nickel, the engineering firm. When we select the top candidates for that, there may be further interviews before we make a final selection at a committee level, and whatever the committee's recommendation will come back to the board for the board's approval to enter into that contract with them. And that's all slated to happen probably within the next 30 days.
There's no hindrance, right? Because of the government shutdown or because of the change in administration for this particular grant? You haven't seen anything that stops that? Or
so they're on furlough. We haven't tried to get any money, Faye?
The last set of drawdown was successful, and the last notice that we received as it should not impact the drawdown.
Right.
It will just impact communication with ESL.
Mr. Brulow, I was reading literature that the IMO is really pushing for green maritime shipping, which, you know, obviously this is designed to assist in that endeavor. Do you see that really coming to fruition, or do you see that as a...
I think that's long ways away.
Long ways away?
Yeah. You know, like, it's we haven't seen any ship capable of taking shore power to operate.
Yeah.
Ever. You know, maybe that's the direction they're going in, but it's a long ways away.
Well, we'll be ready.
we will continue to map out this project as designed the way it was requested until something gets hooked up there or it can stop. There's a need to make sure we understand the environmental conditions beforehand as part of the grant study, which we'll accomplish over the course of time. There's also a three-year reporting period on the results of the implementation of the...
Yeah.
So I don't know whether, if the results just aren't there, what they say next. I have no idea how that part of the process
would work. One question, going back to what I've talked about in the past, is there water around the pier then?
There is water.
Okay.
I did find that out. It's available.
Not on the land then.
On the pier side, through the efforts of the fire protection system that's on the pier, you can also get water to a ship.
Okay. Right.
And there is no other pier that provides electricity to incoming ships.
What do you mean any other pier?
Well, I mean, this is an expensive project and a lot of work going into it, but we're not falling back on somebody else's technology that's already been developed.
So, right. This is all new.
It's all new, right? That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's going to be a long time before a ship comes in.
We are using technology that is in use somewhere else and has been developed. So it's not like they're creating it just for this one pier.
Right.
The problem statement, I think Dave accurately described it, is the vessels that call on this pier weren't built to the standards that would have you hook up to shore power. And until we get ships that are built to those standards, or somebody creates an interface device for those particular ships that each individual ship would have to have, then it might not get the use that people thought it would.
You got to remember, the ships that come into Connecticut, most of them are chartered on the spot market, bringing in bulk cargo, taking out bulk cargo, and so on and so on. And those ships, you know, they'll come to the United States, and then they'll go to Turkey, and then they'll go to Africa, or God knows where. And these other places don't have.
So no Hubble 10,000.
Exactly. It's not like yachts.
And the other part of that equation is a ship in a port under its own power, idling for days or weeks on end would pollute the harbor, to speak.
Yeah.
If a ship's only here for 36 hours, they're not going to shut down all their equipment and go to cold iron, only to start it all back up and get underway. Yeah. So,
and all the ships coming into U.S. ports are burning low sulfur fuel,
right.
Low sulfur diesel. And that's quite a difference than what it was.
My point was the International Maritime Organization has got this grandiose idea that by, I don't know, 2035, they're going to have so many percentage of ships that could come in and tie up to a shore power connection.
Maritime industry doesn't listen to them.
Yeah, well, I'm just, there's a big push.
There was a big push. There's a big push for dual fuel ships, too, which they're backing away from.
Yeah.
I think the last part about the shore power was this equipment is not able to, it's not going to be beefy enough to handle shipboard cranes. So whenever shipboard cranes are required and you need shipboard power to do it.
Like hotel loads.
That's almost all the time too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that's why they're in port, is to operate the shipboard cranes, unload or load. The next grant that's on the list is the PIDP grant for the Groton Marine Terminal.
What is PIDP stand for?
Port Infrastructure Development Grant.
Thank you.
So the Port Infrastructure Development Program grant for the Groton Marine Terminal has been submitted. We did get all the emails back that said it's where it's supposed to be, and the review period was supposed to be shortened for this iteration because normally the PIDP cycle starts in April. And in this case, since it started in September, you need to get answers on these grants in advance of an April filing next year so that everybody knows they got approved or not, and that they could have put in for different things or not. So I don't know if the government shutdown is impacting any of that review cycle time.
Another name for that is Buckeye Terminal, which is on the Groton side. And that Buckeye Terminal handles a lot of the home heating oil for southeastern Connecticut. It also handles all of the maritime fuel, low sulfur diesel for ships. But not only the ferry system.
That you basically drive through when you're going to Avery Point.
Yes.
Yes.
What we have called before.
Yes. Used to be
S. S. That's what I knew.
Yes. Yes. Any questions on grants?
Okay. Next item of business, old business. I'll turn it back over to Mike for State Pier update.
All right. So the State Pier, you know, we've been in negotiations to have a settlement agreement and close out the contract. I have signed the settlement agreement, so has Kiewit. There's final closure paperwork involved from the engineering work that was done on the State Pier, and that should be completed today. Once that paperwork's in hand with the signed settlement agreement, we will issue the funds to Kiewit in the amount of $11 million plus. That check's ready to go. However, we need the closeout documents to move money into the right account to be able to fund that check. And then they'll be able to have that last payment. And that will conclude Kiewit's contract and any work associated with that company at the State Pier. We will put out a drafted public statement about what we think about that. And
what Kiewit thinks about it, right?
And what Kiewit thinks about that. And you will all get a copy of the final signed agreement, and we will post that agreement on our website probably today or tomorrow morning, depending on when I get those final signatures, and everybody will be able to have access to it.
There's no interest involved, right? We're not paying any interest.
No. There's no interest involved.
Mike, do you want to clarify for the public before the statement comes out, since some people might be listening here and you just shared the total amount, how that relates to new funding and make clear the context of that dollar amount?
Yeah, so that dollar amount is underneath the $311 million that was already set aside to be funded for the State Pier. We've been holding back some retainage for work at the State Pier until an agreement was reached. And we provided some extra resources that are still within that 311 number. Thank you, David, to close out this contract.
But the $311 million, that's not all state money, right?
Oh, no.
Okay. So can we define what the separation is?
So $100 million was from NEO/Orsted now, and the remaining balance of $211 million is from Connecticut.
$208 and $103, technically.
$208 and $103.
Thank you.
I think the important thing is there is no more public funding that is going to be allocated to the State Pier. It's all within the last guaranteed maximum price we agreed to, and that we're not asking for any more money from the state, zero.
Well, that's correct. Just sometimes guaranteed maximum price has been a term used, yeah, associated with the CMR contract.
Yeah, I'm not fond of it either.
but I know why you're not fond of it. It doesn't seem to be a guaranteed maximum price. But the project costs are not above what was allocated.
And another thing to know, too, you know, this is a new fiscal year for the state, and this is the first year that the Connecticut Port Authority does not take any funds from the state whatsoever for salaries or anything else. So we're completely self-sufficient beginning this fiscal year.
Yeah, there was a prior fiscal years, there was a line item in the Department of Transportation for $400,000 that funded Port Authority operations, and Port Authority operations will be entirely covered by revenue generated from the state pier through the lease to Orsted and the contract with Instructure.
All right.
So, Mike, this is Doug Delina. Could you just a little to put another finer point on it? $11 million. We're not adding $11 million to the cost.
No, as I said earlier, $7 million of it was retained from the original portion of the contract. There's an additional $4 million being paid as a compromise to the work that was done against the work that was done. So there was some extra effort put into the state pier by the contractor, and there were some things that weren't exactly to the final design. When all was said and done, we're accepting the state pier as is because of the limited impact that design, that final constructed, has on the operation of the state pier. And that those two numbers together add up to the $11
billion. Any other questions for Mike on the state pier?
Well, just one more thing about the state pier, and you mentioned it at some point earlier today. I don't know if it was in this meeting, Paul, but we are coming up on in the harbor development agreement that we have with Instructure and Orsted. There is a need to figure out what happens if there's an idle period. So the Sunrise Wind project that follows Revolution Wind is set to complete sometime in 2027. It was expected that Orsted would have a sublease that was in the wind industry. We're certainly reviewing whether that's even possible at this time, given current events and future plans. If there is to be more wind at the state pier, then that'll get mapped out. If there's not, then we're going to be engaged in figuring out what's next. We're meeting with them in early November to do that. And then there's ample time for public input on that along the way.
So you're meeting with Instructure?
And
Orsted. Okay. Any other follow-on questions? It should be noted, too, that I know that there was a pause with RevWind. You now have components on the pier from Sunrise Wind. We haven't heard anything that would pause the Sunrise development, and we don't expect any really. So
yeah, there's 12 remaining turbines to assemble for Revolution, which probably take the next 6 to 8 weeks, and then they will start on Sunrise, and there's no word that Sunrise is not able to move forward.
Yeah.
How many units on that?
84.
And Sunrise is for New York?
Sunrise is for New York.
Okay, that concludes.
I'm sorry, Paul, I was just going to ask about that. With Sunrise, is it accurate? I understand that there's nothing on the horizon that we know of that would impede Sunrise. And, of course, we understand that can always change. But is it also true that part of it's under construction, just not the part that comes from the pier? Is that right?
Yes, that is correct.
That's absolutely true. That
okay, so it's actually already under construction.
Yes.
That's a good thing, okay. Huh? That's a good thing.
All right. Thank you.
Well, I'll also add that both the Empire Wins Halt and Revolution Wins Halt were about the same amount of time, about 4.5 weeks.
And
before it was lifted.
Yeah, if you're offshore wind, you know, so CVOW down in Virginia is going full speed ahead, and that's where the Charybdis is operating. They just, I think in the last 2 weeks, Charybdis pulled into the Hampton Roads area and is starting to work off the coast of Virginia.
Yep.
That's not as deep as we're
not the same. It's all on the Atlantic shelf. Okay. Any other questions before we go to new business?
No, I do have a recommendation based on the comments that Mike was providing earlier. Perhaps we should consider hosting a legislative breakfast within the next few months. And I'm happy to help with that. I organized one last spring for the CWC when we rolled out our offshore wind regional supply chain study.
Yep. Nope. It's a great idea.
Up in Hartford.
Yes.
Okay. Agenda item number 7, new business. Any new business to come forward to the board? Hearing none, that takes us to agenda item number 8, which is adjournment. Do I have a
so moved
and Grant? With that, I guess we'll take a vote. Anybody, all those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
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 Anybody want to oppose? Okay, I thank everybody for coming. I appreciate your time. And I think the next thing on the docket is the annual public meeting. I don't think we have one in November, correct?
We have December. There is a regular board meeting scheduled. Okay. And prior to that, Friday is Finance Committee. And then there is another joint committee for November.
And there is a finance meeting this
Friday.
This Friday.
And then there'll be the joint meeting I talked about earlier for the audit.
Yep.
And then one more board meeting in December.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
On the other side of the public meeting.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.